Welcome to another episode of Why Your Story Podcast. Done right here in beautiful Star Valley, Wyoming. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we're excited to be here today.
So excited.
Yeah. This is a good time of year to be alive. The beautiful fall weather that we're having.
Love it.
Yeah, this is nice.
What have you been up to? Hunting, I assume. I saw that elk that your daughter shot.
Yes.
So impressed.
My little girl, all grown up now, slammed a big old monster bull elk.
That's so cool.
So fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. It was so exciting to be with her on that hunt.
Fun.
But I'll tell you what, I am not as young as I used to be. I always told myself, I used to take elk out on my back when we couldn't get horses, you know, but out there where we were at, we couldn't get horses in there. There's just the roads were horrible. And
oh wow.
So anyway, it was just her and I taking that thing out on our back, and it darn near killed me.
Wow.
So I don't, as wonderful as it was, we made a lot of memories. Yeah. I just don't want to do it again for another year.
That's what it's about, is memories, you know. It just, like, you won't ever forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but fall weather has just been lovely. It's been a wonderful fall. The trees have been just beautiful colors.
Very pretty.
Yeah. This is why we live in Star Valley right here.
Mm-hmm. Fall and summer.
What have you been up to?
Well, I went on a trip, and then I think you went on a trip.
I did. I just got back like 48 hours ago.
Oh, then you're still kind of in that leg. Oh.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I hit a wall and I'm just like, oh my gosh. But then I'm at 4 a.m, I'm wide awake, running around the house.
Correct. You
know? So I'm still adjusting. We were over in the UK. We went over to England. I took my wife and girls.
How fun. What part of England?
So my dad did his final European tour. Mm. And so I just thought, you know what? I'm playing bass, and so I've got to take my wife and girls. I just have to. So
yes,
it cost me way more than I made to take my kids over there, you know. But it was so worth it. You know, you talk about memories; those are memories my girls will never forget.
Yeah.
You know, going over there, seeing Grandpa and their dad on stage playing. But we were in a different town in England every night.
Wow,
every night, huh. And so. You know, they got to see Northern England, Southern England, Eastern England, Western England. And we were there for 10 days. We spent 3 days in London, but different cities.
Venues.
Or not different venues in London. And so they got to see the Tower of London. We got to go see the Parliament and Big Ben. And
did you go to Abbey Road?
Abbey Road, yeah. We went.
And did you make the picture with your arm swinging?
No, we didn't. We didn't do that. We did see. We did go and see the Abbey. The what's it called? The Abbey. It's the church where they do the coronation of the kings and queens. Mm, you know,
that's neat.
Right there, kind of behind Parliament and. We went to the what's the place the Queen lives? Of course, she had passed away, but
right. What is the name of that place? I can see the soldiers in front.
Yeah, and then we went and I showed him Prince Albert Hall, where my dad played back in the 70s. You know, for the Queen, all those times, and it was just really neat experience for my girls, and then. We went to a town called Sussex.
Okay, I've heard of that.
In northern part of England. And I think the highlight for my kids was we spent the night in a castle.
Oh, yeah.
And they got to sleep in, they called it the tower room. And literally, it was like Rapunzel's tower,
really?
You know?
Yeah.
And it was a room, and my two girls got to stay there.
That's neat. Because I know you don't really like traveling.
I loathe. I absolutely loathe traveling.
Yeah.
MJ. And I I think it just comes from the fact that when I was younger, I did it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there's people that just generally like to travel.
I agree. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I think you're one of those people. I think my wife is one of those people.
Mm.
I am not one of those people. I am completely content and happy and satisfied in my lazy boy at my house. And if I never had to see another town as long as I lived, I think I would be just fine.
Oh, you? Boy. No, I want to see as much as I can.
What is there to see?
There's everything. What? There's history.
All right. I think we're going to go down this road. You ready?
Okay.
We're going to talk about history. So let's just talk about the London Tower for a second. King Henry VIII was a scoundrel, and I don't think anybody would disagree with me. I mean, he married a gal, married for 3 years, just she kind of lost her luster, so off with her head, you know? And, and like the day after she lost her head, then he married his next wife, you know, and she kind of lost her luster, off with her head, you know? And then he had these two nephews that he felt, they were like 6 years old. And he felt like they might encroach upon his royalship. And so he had them, they just disappeared one day.
Oh.
And they found their dead bodies in one of the towers of the castle. You know, I mean, this guy's a creep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm walking through the London Tower and looking at the armory and looking at all the swords and all the stuff they used to torture people, you know. And I'm thinking, was this worth 2,000 miles? And 2 days of traveling to see? And the answer, if I were to be honest with myself, no.
Wow.
That's my take on it. Now, my wife, I think she just was enthralled. With everything. But at the end of the day, it was a pile of rocks cemented together. And I feel like I could have got a better education and seen more of it at home on the internet. That's my take on that.
I don't know.
Buckingham Palace. That's what
finally. Yes.
My heavens.
Yeah. I think, see, I'm not the opposite. I don't think a book or a computer does certain things justice. You know, it's like saying, have you been to Yellowstone? Nope, but I looked it up on the internet and I saw it. Well, you didn't smell it. I mean, that, you know, the sulfur in that little area and the, I mean, really, I have to take it all in.
I make my own sulfur.
Well, sometimes I do too. In the most inappropriate times. Oh, my goodness. So, are we going to go down that road then?
Yeah, let's go down that road then.
Okay. All right.
I think that, how do I say this? Okay, so to travel to Europe, those that have done it and those that may be looking at doing it, you know, we actually found cheaper airline tickets by going through Jackson Hole to Salt Lake than to Europe, than to Heathrow. And so we left our home at like, I don't know, 1 p.m, 2 p.m, got to Jackson Hole, flew to Salt Lake. We ended up catching a flight at 9 p.m. out of Salt Lake. But that put us in the UK, in London, at like 9 a.m.
Right.
You know, 10 a.m. And so the good thing about that is you got to force yourself to stay awake all day.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can kind of get with the time change and that sort of thing, you know. But I think the flight was 9.5 hours from Salt Lake to Heathrow.
Sounds about right.
And then an hour from Jackson to Salt Lake. And then the time in between. So you got to figure your 16 hours roughly of travel time.
Correct.
And so if you're okay with that and you don't have an anxiety disorder like myself, and you love the TSA agents and you love people going through your luggage and sticking their hands in all crevices of your body.
Yeah.
And being herded like a bunch of cattle through chutes, then traveling is for you.
But the thing
prove
is,
prove me wrong.
Because I was in Europe as well a couple of weeks ago and the security was way less. I could have gone, well, I did, went through security with a Coke in my hand that was opened up. I did not take my shoes off.
In the UK?
Yes. No, it was through let's see, Amsterdam airport.
Okay.
And I didn't even, when we landed there, I didn't even go through immigrations or anything. I just went to the hotel.
Yeah, that was so...
It was so weird.
That was... So when we landed in Heathrow, we didn't go through immigrations either.
Mm-mm.
What is going on with that? That's the first time that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, they were way lax, I thought.
I did too. I thought so. I mean, there was no... going into England, there was no checking of passports.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. Now, coming back into America...
Right.
They checked.
Yeah, you're probed.
Yeah, we I was thoroughly vetted.
Yeah.
colonoscopy, the whole works to see...
And you still have a smile on your face.
Yeah. Well, the smile on my face is because I'm back in America. But you're right. I thought security was very lax. Now, coming from Heathrow to get on the plane to go back to Salt Lake,
mm-hmm.
that was a nightmare.
Mm.
That was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'll bet you there were... I mean, not exaggerating, 1,000 people just in our one line for Delta.
Okay, so same thing. I was flying Delta back from Amsterdam, and we were there 3 hours early. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you're supposed to travel international.
Well, I made the mistake, and I never do this. I never check bags, but we had so much stuff, we did. And that took, I don't know, an hour and a half. Then we go through another security, another hour. Now it's 30 minutes prior, and I know they're buttoning up. And so there was another security thing, and I just started following this lady. She was from France, and she was just like, I'm going to get to the front of this line because my plane's going to leave. So I just kind of followed her like a little puppy. And they went their way, we went ours. And at 10 minutes to, we got there. And
sweat
on both of us. We're like, I'm like, Steve, I know where the AED is. And he's like, because, you know, they're on the walls in the airport. And he's like, okay. And then I was like, hey, any chance? And they're like, we've, you know, done the manifest. And I go, okay. And then I just kind of looked at him with my baby blues. And I was like, no way, huh? And the guy goes, all right, get on. And we were both like, what? So, yeah, it was kind of, and we made it. And it was a 10-hour flight back home from there.
So now, in light of the earlier conversation, what part about that do you love? Because I am genuinely curious.
Well, you have to be stress-free, and you really can't freak out. Like, Steve the whole time was just like, this is ridiculous. I'm standing here. It's ridiculous.
But he's honest. He's just being honest.
And I'm like, babe, half full. That's what your glass needs to be, half full. And he's like, no, I'm going to drink my drink, and it's going to be empty. And he was just like going off. And so we landed in Salt Lake. He was like, there's no way they got our bags because they're the last ones to go on.
Oh, yeah.
Because we flight standby. And I go, I bet they're there. And he's like, okay, bet on. I go, okay, what is it? So we did, I think, dishes for a week. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, there it was, bag one, bag two, bag three. And he was like,
oh my
what
gosh.
The flip?
They got him on.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Now, on the way there, I had to wait 2 days in Venice to get my bags because I don't know where they went. They could have gone around the world or something. But yeah, that's why you always...
And was that fun, staying in Venice with no bags?
Yeah. Because I had to buy some stuff to keep me going.
I would have absolutely lost my ever-loving mind.
Yeah, it was good. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I can understand the concept of I want to go see how another country lives. I mean, I understand that concept.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm there, all I keep thinking of is I just wish I was home. And it's very difficult for me to just sit and enjoy myself. All right. The food sucks.
No, the food does not.
The food absolutely sucks.
No.
Yes.
Did you have, is it haggis? Am I saying that right?
Well, fish and chips and mushy peas. So that's like the staple when you're out in London and England.
And baguettes.
And baguettes.
Yeah.
And so we get up the first morning and we go down. And I'm not a big breakfast eater. Mm-hmm. I like to eat. In my dream world, I would eat at like 10 o'clock and I would have eggs and bacon every day. That's like my thing. I love that. But we get down there and they're serving porridge. And I'm thinking, I thought that went out with the Three Little Bears. I just like, who eats porridge, you know?
Yeah.
And in my mind, okay, so porridge is basically, I mean, oatmeal, you know?
Correct.
But let's put some brown sugar and, and cinnamon and milk and cream, you know, and let's get this thing tasting good. Well, they don't do that. They just put fresh berries.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like some fresh berries? And I'm like, no, what I'd really like is sugar. But their sugar is not like our sugar. It's like big, like the size, half the size of a BB.
Yeah.
Pellets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is wrong with this country? How can they not figure out sugar and brown sugar and cream and stuff, you know? But instead we're putting strawberries on our porridge.
Yeah.
And I just, the things like that are just like, but what I learned is they take great pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
They take great pride in the fact that they're this early heritage, early English, proper English type people, you know?
Exactly.
And so porridge to them is just wonderful because that's that's like what made the country go in the early 1800s.
We were in a place on this trip in Greece, and I did bring back olive oil because it's just so much better. And I was standing there looking at the different bottles, and this guy didn't speak very good English. And I learned one or two words in each of the countries I went to just because I think it's important to say thank you correctly and, you know, hello. And
bathroom?
So, yeah, bathroom. Those are the three.
Yeah.
And so the guy hands me a cup and wants me to taste the olive oil. I'm like, what the flip? So Steve and I just, you know, gulp it, chug it down, and I'm like, oh. So I'm just like, you know, off in the corner, and I'm looking for some water, and Steve's back.
It's so gross.
He's back, like, with the guy and getting some oil, and I see this big jug of water, and I'm like, water, water. And so he comes up to me, and I put it in my little Dixie cup, pretty full, and he said something like, I thought sparkling water.
So
I chug it, and then Steve chugs it, and we're both like, oh my gosh. And
it was sparkling water.
It was 40% whatever alcohol. 40%.
Wow.
And it hit my throat. And honestly, I could feel it inside going all the way down my gut. And it tasted like rotten cough syrup. It was just, I mean, it looked like water. And I'm like, well.
You just drank Everclear or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. 40%. All I know
is. Did you feel warm and cozy afterwards?
No, I felt gassy. It was not good. I didn't like it. Yeah. But
wow. So you just took a shot of whiskey.
Yeah, I did. After I took a shot of olive oil.
And, okay, so again, in light of our conversation earlier, what part of that did you enjoy?
Not much. Well, maybe a little while after I enjoyed the scenery.
So for our listeners here, are you seeing the pattern? So I think in order to like out of country travel, you have to find the joy in misery. I think that's what I'm trying to convey.
Just consume some 40% and you'll be good. No, I love the food in Italy and Greece. I just love it. Tomatoes,
okay,
everything.
Okay. Speaking of that, now this is where my wife and I, she'll get mad at me for saying this because she loved the food in Italy also.
Yeah.
Can't
be beat.
She just loved. Yeah, it can.
It cannot.
Olive Garden.
Oh, what a joke. That is like.
Oh, my word.
Not even close.
It is better.
No.
Those of you that are listening to me, I know you understand because I got lots of feedback when we did our Pee Wee Herman podcast, you know, about the pants. I won that by so far a margin. But I'm telling you, there's a reason that Olive Garden does so well in America.
Oh.
It's because Americans enjoy good food.
Those Americans have not traveled outside
of
the
Americans?
Country.
What are those you talking? We are all Americans.
Okay, the ones that love Olive Garden, they're the ones that are off kilter.
I love Olive Garden.
Ugh.
I absolutely love Olive Garden.
And it's not even close.
I could go there for my birthday. I could go there for Christmas. I could go there for every wonderful day. I'm just saying, to me, that is good Italian food. That is the bomb.
You know?
In fact, let's go get like a Stouffer's frozen lasagna. That is what I'm talking about.
You're so sick. Really?
I'm just telling you. From the bottom of my heart, I am not lying to you. That, to me, now, Italy does have wonderful gelato, whatever that's called.
Yeah, that's good.
They have really, it is really good.
Yeah, I just don't think their food can be beat. I love it.
Well, your opinion.
and lots of other people.
I'm telling
people.
You. So we went in London.
Mm-hmm.
They're very diverse.
I mean, for sure.
Ethnicity all over the board. You
right.
know? And so you just... You hit these main, you know, there we had Lebanese mm-hmm. food. We went to a little Italian place. We ate lots of Asian, Indian type food, uh-huh. you know. And over there, you know what they say when they want to go eat Indian food?
Mm-mm.
I hate to say this because I might get razzed a little bit, but I had this lady say, "Did you eat an Indian?" And I said, "Well, we don't say it that way in America because that would not be good if you ate an Indian, you know." But that's what they say. Let's go eat an Indian.
Oh well, yeah, they do. They do speak differently. That's
very
for sure.
differently.
Yeah,
very differently. And they kept saying things like, you know, they would ask questions about America, and they would say things like, "Amazing, amazing."
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, don't do that. Don't say that to me. You're not helping your situation here at all.
But. No, not at all.
But guess how much their petrol is. They call it petrol, not gas.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. Was it 16? I think 16.
Dollars a gallon?
Euros, yeah.
No, yeah. So right now US dollars it's $12.30 a gallon.
Mm. Yeah, because and American money's for the first time in a long time, worth more than
the
European.
Pound.
Yeah.
Yeah. $12.30 a pound.
Wow.
Or a gallon for petrol.
That's crazy.
I mean, talk about losing your mind. Because I was complaining.
Of course you were.
I was complaining to them about our gas prices, mm-hmm. you know, and our cost of living over here. And he's like, "So what is your gas? What does your petrol cost?" And I said, "It's like $5 a gallon."
Mm-hmm.
Well, ours is a little over 12.
Oh, too funny.
Oh,
yeah.
My word.
It was crazy. I have to say our trip ended with just us laughing our guts off the night.
Steve was laughing his guts off?
He was. I mean, he was laughing too. There was just some funny things that happened. We went to get on the ship. We'd been out all day. And I think we weren't in Greece. Well, anyway, wherever we were. And we go to this little supermarket because I had to have some salt. You can't get chips there.
No, you can't. It's not salty.
It's not. There's no salt. It's all sugar. And I'm not a sugary girl too much, a little bit. But so we get there and this guy in high heels and about 5 foot three comes over and kind of pushes me out of the way to get his Pringles. Now, mind you, in his cart, he had 15 containers of Pringles. And he puts back two, not the kind I wanted. I wanted the sour cream and he had taken them all. So he goes back into his line and then we are ready. And so we're behind him. But in front of me is a guy that has two pipes about an inch wide in his earlobes.
Oh.
And he's going off on this other guy.
Oh.
I mean, he's just like, and he had dreads and there was like little things living in there. And I was so entertained by the whole thing. And then the guy's like, "Oh, we don't have money." The same guy with the high heels. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to kill him."
Oh,
and so
gosh.
He runs to get money, comes back, still huge line of people for one checker.
Oh my gosh.
And he gets the money and kind of throws it at her. And he's like, she's like, "Will you get money back?" And he goes, "Oh no. No money back. Now he wants gum." So I'm like, "How many packs do you want?" Like, I'm helping him. You know, I still have
gotta be kidding
the
me.
Ear guy in front of me. And he's like livid at this point. So I grabbed 15 random gums and threw in his thing. And we were both like, "What just happened? This is so weird." And so the next morning, We were just talking about all the fun things we'd had, and we did a traditional breakfast. I know better because my lack of a gallbladder and bacon just don't mix.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So we're sitting there ready for our thing to get off the boat. I can't remember the word. Get off the boat.
Debark.
Something like that. So we're sitting there, and I said, Steve, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. So I go zooming into the bathroom, and of course, there's like a line. Why don't they build more toilets for women? I mean, the men's is always empty. And I almost went in there, but it was my turn to go into the stall. And this one stall had a lady and her little girl. And she hadn't, the whole time she stayed in there. I don't know what was going on, but all of a sudden this lady runs up. I don't know. She might have been a good 350.
Oh, no.
And she's like, I got a crap. And but she did not say crap. And I'm like, and she goes, you wouldn't mind if I went in front of you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going next.
Is this in Amsterdam?
No, this is in Italy. Yeah, in Italy.
Oh, my God.
So all of a sudden, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I've got to go, ma'am. I've been waiting here for a long time. She goes, no, crap. And she takes her head and starts slamming it against the towel holder.
Oh, gosh.
And she takes her dress and spreads her legs and puts towels. And I'm like, I'm still not going to let her go because I've got to go.
No way. You are the meanest.
No, because I would have been in that predicament. And so I go zooming into my thing, and she's still just swearing, saying, you know, just like, what? Finally, she pounds on the door of the little girl and the mom, and she's like, you got to get out of there. And finally, the door creaks open, and I'm sure they timidly just got out of there because they were kind of afraid. She slams the door, and I hear, rah! Just this explosion of sounds.
Oh, my word.
And I am dying. I'm on the toilet just laughing. Yeah, just laughing my guts out. And she's just still hitting her head. That was my last experience with the crazy.
That reminds me of Floyd on Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly that. Oh, that's exactly it.
So one thing that I can say about the European people is they are not, what's the word? They're not shy.
No.
They are very forward, and they will, like, you know, the joke about you're going to the bathroom and, like, guys, they pee in these urinals, you know, and you walk in there and there's like, you don't want to stand next to the guy, you know? So you find one that's like two or three away from the guy. But Europeans, they'll come stand right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
They have no, and I think it's because they're so used to living crunched together, possibly, you know, that they just, there's no personal space.
That's right.
They are always in your personal space.
Right.
And it was so difficult for me to get used to.
Well, you should try a toilet that you squat in China.
I won't do it.
I mean, that was it. There was no flush. There was none. It was just the little stream and you straddling and off you did
That was the other thing in England was they have the big flush and the little flush.
Oh, we know. Yeah. I like that. I think home should have that.
You know, because everything over there is green. Mm-hmm. It's all about saving the environment. I mean, everything was our planet is doomed. We're going to die. Mm-hmm. Everything. And so you got the little flush to conserve water and then the big flush if you really need to flush.
And a boudet if you want
the boudet,
a little washy-washy.
You need to have the shower from down under. all of that good stuff. But everything was so small and compact. And I think that's what my girls were. They were struggling getting used to that because, you know, you walk into a motel room or a hotel room here in America and it's you got some room. But a hotel room in London, I mean, you might have 12 feet by 12 feet and that's it.
Right. Amsterdam, we stayed in one of those and everything was done on the iPad.
Oh yeah.
The lights, the TV.
Everything.
The shower, everything was on that little iPad.
Yep.
It was pretty cool.
Same thing in the UK. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is electronic.
Yeah.
Or digital, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
So if I were to just sum up some words that
that fly's going to get you.
The fly is just killing me. If I were to just come up with some words that would describe my trip, I would have to say words like cologne. Because every guy in the UK wears cologne.
Yeah.
Every it's one disgusting. Of them. Mm-hmm. And they don't, it's not like they just do a little spray mm-mm. here and there. It is sprayed on.
And they mix it with their body odor. Oh, my word. That smell.
So cologne. And then scarves. I don't know if you noticed it.
Oh, yeah.
Every guy wears a scarf.
Yeah. You're not cool if you don't have a scarf.
What is that?
Well, tight pants. You'll and get scarves.
Beat up. I know. Tight pants and scarves. If you did that in Wyoming, you'd get beat up.
Yeah.
I really didn't think you would.
You might. That's for sure.
You definitely, your legs would get cold. So scarves would be so compact.
Dark colors, too.
Yeah. Everything's drab.
Yeah, everything's black or brown.
Everything's black, mm-hmm. brown, dark gray.
Yeah. Lots of hats.
Chimneys.
Chimneys.
Every place has a chimney.
Yeah.
Every place has a chimney. That's true. And if they didn't have a chimney, they had a fake chimney.
Yeah.
The one guy told me that was one of his business, biggest part of his business was installing fake chimneys. So they could fit in with everybody around them.
Wow. It is pretty there, though. I think... You know,
yeah.
It's a different pretty.
Yeah. Once you get outside of London,
yeah,
taxis would be another thing I mm-hmm. would say. Their roads are only like 18 feet wide.
I know.
And these guys are driving these double-decker buses and
yeah.
taxis, and everybody honks at each other.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just interesting to me.
It's really interesting.
Really interesting. But it was a good experience, but I'm here to tell you, and I will say this, and I mean it so much, but there is nothing that describes the feeling of landing in America
mm-hmm.
when you come home.
Yeah, you almost want to clap.
I mean, I when we came home, we went through customs. I just wanted to give that guy a hug. You know, they were asking questions, and I said, you can ask me anything you want. I'm just loving America. And is there a McDonald's close by? Because I just need American.
Yeah.
I want American. We fight and we die so that we can live as Americans.
And have that hamburger.
And my girls and I mean, we talked a lot about that. I mean, there's just something about being an American mm-hmm. that's just wonderful. And then you go from London or England to Star Valley,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it is like night and day
difference. For sure.
To stand on your back porch and look across the valley mm-hmm. is just the most amazing vista
yeah.
you could ever imagine.
Yeah. And I do think if people hesitate to go to Europe or go to Australia, any of those great places, that they should at least travel around the U.S. because the U.S. has so much to see and so much beauty. And we like to do road trips. So we do a lot of road trips. They're not usually expensive and just kind of discover the back roads. And, you know, I'll ask a local, where do you eat? And it's usually right.
Yeah,
it's
that's
good
interesting.
Food. Yeah.
But if you want to be like Travis and not travel, you can always stay home and watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Pop some popcorn, watch the colors of the leaves change, and just feel that secured feeling of being in your home, in your own little bed. So that's my take on the traveling.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a good take, but I don't agree with
it. I just love America.
I do too.
I love America,
but I do love to travel. And if you ever have any questions, hopefully I can help you out. I've been blessed to see most all the continents, but Antarctica. But I will.
Well, maybe one of these podcasts, you can tell us something fun about every continent.
Okay.
Because I'm still waiting to hear anything fun about your travels.
I'm not going to say you're narrow-minded or anything.
My wife tells me that all the time.
Yeah, I think Megan and I need to go on a trip.
Yeah, you should.
Leave you home with your...
Leave me home to my
with
misery.
With your rocker.
I will love every minute of it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We wanted to take a second to appreciate our sponsor, Star Valley Health, for all they do for us.
They have some great physicians, and if you have any questions, just call them, and they're there to help you.
Yep. Thank you, Star Valley Health, and thank you for all of our listeners out there. You've made this very enjoyable for us. We appreciate that. My name is Travis Osmond.
My name is Mary Jo Parker.
And we are
Why Your Story.
Have a great day, everyone. Be safe.
Ciao, Bella.